You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yesterday, provisional approval was given for children aged 12 to 15 to get the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine for COVID-19 by New Zealand's medicines regulator, MedSafe. At the moment, New Zealand's vaccine rollout does not yet include young children. The final stage of the vaccine rollout, Group 4, includes the general population as young as 16. Following MedSafe's provisional approval of the Pfizer vaccine for children as young as 12, the government will need to make a decision on this and potentially alter the vaccine rollout plan to include this younger group of New Zealanders. I spoke to Dr. Emma Best, a paediatrician and also a medical advisor for Immunisation Advisory Centre, about vaccinating children as young as 12 against COVID-19. We discussed the Immunisation Advisory Centre's position on MedSafe's provisional approval of Pfizer for children, concerns raised about bumping vulnerable children up the list, and wider concerns about caregivers' willingness to vaccinate their children against COVID-19. I began by asking what the Immunisation Advisory Centre's position was on yesterday's announcement.
The Immunisation Advisory Centre, we're supportive of the safety assessment and the provisional registration that's been provided by MedSafe for the Pfizer mRNA vaccine for 12 to 15-year-olds. So we see it as good news that we have this as an option and a choice for New Zealand going forward.
Now, are children still low priority when it comes to receiving the vaccine, or should this change New Zealand's vaccine rollout plan?
Well, I do think overall we need to assess what the individual and the community risk is with regards to getting COVID. And so for that reason, I think children do remain as a low priority at the moment. The risk of getting COVID when we have none in the community is low. The risk for children themselves is that they have much less severe disease and appear to be less likely to be infectious and transmitting it. However, there are different groups of children, even amongst that 12 to 15-year-old group, that we should be looking at, and some of those groups might be prioritised to get the vaccine. And, of course, looking forward and, you know, perhaps longer term in the future, later in the year, next year, thinking about protecting the whole community by with engaging this vaccine for all of the 12 to 15-year-olds as well.
So just talking on that, in an interview with RNZ, Cure Kids has raised concerns that vulnerable children should now be bumped up the queue due to this approval. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think we probably need to have a think about what are vulnerable children when it comes to COVID disease specifically. I absolutely agree with Cure Kids. There was a commentary around how respiratory infections or acute respiratory infections are the most common cause of hospitalisation and problems in vulnerable children of lower socioeconomic status who might live in crowded homes that are cold and damp. And so respiratory tract infections are very important to prevent. But if we look at the international information around COVID disease, it seems that overall children, even with secondary conditions like asthma or diabetes, even with immunocompromised, don't seem to have more severe disease. So there's some reassuring evidence overall that those vulnerable groups that we typically associate with problems from respiratory infections might not be as much at risk from COVID. However, you have to temper that with, we've got to look at our own community, and we know that certainly in parts of Auckland and other larger cities and northern New Zealand as well, that there are children that really suffer from repeated respiratory infections, and this could be important. My other thought on that is just with regards to what the risk group is, what's the risk of a child from 12 to 15 of being exposed to COVID, and families of children of families who work on the border are important for us to really consider as a small special group that should be perhaps given the vaccine earlier, because they do have a risk of potentially some household transmission or contact.
Now, you mentioned looking sort of internationally. How important is it to have that international precedent where other countries have, their governments have approved the vaccines for this younger age group? How important is that for New Zealand to be able to have no transmission in the community currently and be able to be looking overseas to look at how we're going to roll out that decision with children living here?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. New Zealand's just been in this amazing position because of the way we've closed our borders and contained and had no community transmission, that we've actually had time and reflection to look at how we roll out our vaccination campaign. We have, you know, experience with regards to which vaccines the vaccine we have and just a huge amount of international information on its safety and monitoring over time in the adult and older children, the 16 years and plus group. And now already the Americans have licensed this, I think, in early May. And so we're going to get this accumulating data through the year to use, you know, later in the year when we've got through, importantly, vaccinating all those high priority older adults, even older teenagers who are more likely to spread the infection, get them done first and then have the information to reflect upon about this, you know, potentially the next group, this 12 to 15-year-olds, and where they might sit and how we direct the vaccine for them.
The vaccine rollout has been criticised for being slow-moving, and that means it could be some time until children in this 12 to 15 age band see the vaccine being rolled out to them. Will this put those children who are vulnerable or with existing health conditions, as we were discussing before, at risk?
If you mean is the slow vaccine rollout putting them at risk, I think that New Zealand, again, as we've really been very careful with our borders. We've got an excellent now tracing system should there be any COVID coming into the community, that they're traced and isolated. So I think we have time. I think that New Zealand is doing a good job. It's, we've got some areas that need to be more concentrated in the bigger urban centres with regards to the vaccine rollout more promptly on time. But mostly things are going to schedule, and we have also got a secure supply of what's looking to be the most effective vaccine really globally. So I think that we're in a good position. We have lots of international information coming through as we do this. And, we need to make sure that we have a really equitable approach to the vaccine being rolled out and ensuring that some of the bigger urban centres that might be just beginning to fall behind are caught up well. But there is a lot of pressure on the system. And my other thing as a paediatrician is to make sure that all of our immunisations to protect our children are also being, you know, rolled out and done well as well. So we don't want to drop the ball on important childhood immunisations for those very reasons outlined about respiratory infections and other illnesses being really important to protect children from.
Yeah, so on that, are there concerns among health professionals that some caregivers will not give their children permission to receive the COVID-19 vaccine, or even further than that, has the discussions around the COVID-19 vaccine caused greater concern amongst caregivers about other immunisations and immunisations generally?
So I don't think the discussions about COVID vaccine specifically have caused concerns amongst parents and giving their own children the routine immunisation. I think, unfortunately, due to lockdown and due to concentration of health resources, we have seen a drop-off in immunisation last year. So from late 2019 through 2020, sort of we want to make sure that more than 90% of all of our young children, that is 2-year-olds, have, you know, received, or more than 95% have received their all of their immunisations. And we're seeing about, you know, just under 9 out of 10 children have received all their immunisations by the age of 2. But even that number tells you that there's very, very few parents that actually choose not to immunise their children. So it's a small number. And I think the same will apply with COVID vaccine once we work through the important groups and the greater good for New Zealand about which children should get this vaccine. Parents generally make good decisions for their children. They want the same things that we all want for our children, which is them to be healthy. And you know, those numbers, as I say, around 9 out of 10 parents choose to have all of their immunisations for children by the age of 2, and that's the vast majority.
That was Dr. Emma Best, a paediatrician and also a medical advisor for Immunisation Advisory Centre, speaking about MedSafe's recent provisional approval for children aged 12 to 15 to get the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine for COVID-19.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.